Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Leute, es wird unangenehm, denn ich muss euch einfach fragen, habt ihr euch eigentlich schon mal um eure Versicherung gekümmert? Hier ist übrigens Tara vom Podcast Tara sagt was und ich sage euch, es wird allerhöchste Zeit, Ordnung in euer Versicherungschaos zu bringen und dabei kann euch die App Clark helfen. Da arbeiten ganz viele Expertinnen, die das hauptberuflich machen, man glaubt es kaum. Und mit meinem Code TARA60, alles groß und zusammengeschrieben, könnt ihr euch sogar einen Shopping-Gutschein sichern, 60 Euro, bei zum Beispiel Amazon oder Douglas einlösbar, mit dem Code TARA60.
The people and projects trying to make our world a better place.
I just saw the problem and I knew that there is a way we can use technology to solve it.
People Fixing the World from the BBC World Service.
Thanks for choosing to listen to Assignment on the documentary podcast from the BBC World Service. I'm Peter Hadfield and I'm reporting from the French territory of New Caledonia in the Pacific Ocean, where there are tensions over the way the islands will be run in the future.
Merci beaucoup.
So we're sitting in André Vama's garden under the shade of an umbrella, and we're surrounded with some beautiful fruit trees. These are, say, citron ici.
Citron.
Ah, oui, oui.
Citron, mandarin.
Lemon, mandarin, avocado, banana, papaya fruit, says André. With the tropical sea a stone's throw away, it looks like paradise. I'm Peter Hadfield. Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. And for this week's assignment, I'm in New Caledonia, an archipelago in the South Pacific, more than 1,000 kilometres east of Australia. It's dominated by one large mountainous island, a rugged terrain of forests and bushland, around which is a scattering of smaller coral islands. In the southeast corner of the main island is where I found André Vama, a fisherman who belongs to the Goro tribe.
So many flowers. Et c'est très bon la terre ici.
Ouais, ça pousse avec comme il pleut souvent.
Lots of rain. Yeah. Under the fruit trees and coconut palms, he shows me round his garden, adorned with tribal carvings and old fishing nets.
Ah, this is the main house. Okay.
Là, il y a un, deux, trois, quatre chambres.
Four rooms.
Chambres, douche, four rooms. Douche et puis sanitaire. Hein.
Et ça, c'est de bois?
Oui.
A statue carved of wood, and it's a sort of rather fearsome-looking warrior with a beard, and this is to guard the house.
The reason I came to this remote part of New Caledonia is to see how life is still lived by the indigenous people, the Kanak. Because change is coming. I asked André whether old traditions are still alive.
Donc c'est vrai qu'avant, donc ici, même ici à la tribu, moi j'avais un faré là.
A lot of things have changed. I still have a faré, a traditional house, as well as my house of concrete blocks. But we need the straw for the faré. And that's much harder to find now. So traditional houses and traditional clothes are not so common. On the other hand, our social spirit remains. We see each other for dice games and for weddings. Our tribe has a regular feast where all the clans meet up. Everyone brings food according to custom, and they prepare it for the feast.
The Goro are one of 300 tribes in New Caledonia. André explains that relationships between people, clans and tribes are governed by sophisticated customs and rituals going back hundreds of years.
There are places which are sacred, and those places are still respected, in the area of fishing or hunting, for example. So, if you're going to see a chief, or if you're going to see a clan or a family, you always go to the chief in humility and respect. You offer a manu, which is a traditional cloth. The chiefs organize the social life of the tribes and the clans.
And here is Christian.
Christian,
oui. Bonjour, Christian. Peter.
Bonjour,
ça va? Christian is André's cousin, who lives nearby. Also a fisherman, says André, like everyone here. I ask Christian if he gets enough fish to feed the family, and he says yes, along with things from the garden, like banana and manioc. Life is easy, he says. Everything's there. But although life looks idyllic, the indigenous Kanak are worried. This is officially French territory, and French people have been coming here for decades to settle. They now make up around 24% of New Caledonia's population. The Kanak are a minority in their ancestral land, comprising 41%. The rest are Polynesians, East Asians, and mixed race. In 1998, a treaty was signed in the capital, Noumea, between the French government and the Kanak. It brought peace to the islands and ensured that Kanak customs, laws and traditions were respected. But the treaty has now expired. Three referenda held a few years ago voted against independence, and now both sides are in talks to forge a new future for New Caledonia, with each side trying to assert its rights.
Café au lait et un croissant, s'il vous plaît.
Stéphane, we've come to this beautiful café in the middle of Noumea. It's very quiet, but very French. And we have the French baguette, the croissant. We've got a Carrefour just down the road. It feels to someone like me like we're in Europe. Is that kind of the feeling?
Yeah, we are in the South Pacific, and this part of this town give us a good remember of lifestyle in Paris.
But even though Stéphane Quinet has been living in New Caledonia for 20 years, he doesn't have the right to vote. The organisation he leads, the French Citizens Association, represents thousands of people in the same situation.
In 1998, the electoral list of votants has been frozen. No one from outside has been authorized to vote for the parliament system. So, until the three referendums, we didn't know if New Caledonia will stay French or not. So, it was a transition period. I accept that. But now, in 2024, this period is finished. And we say now we have to go far. And as President Macron said last year, New Caledonia is French, is in part of France. Now we want that all French citizens living in this French part of the France can participate to the electoral roll for all personal elections.
The freezing of votes has disenfranchised tens of thousands of people who came here after 1998, even their children who were born here and are now adults. And because the French Constitution guarantees the right to vote for all French citizens, the Constitution itself had to be amended in Paris in order to exclude them. And that has led to divisions in New Caledonia, even within families.
Hello, bonsoir.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you very much. Do I take my shoes off? Yes.
In the suburbs of Noumea, I meet with a family whose father, Frederick, was born in New Caledonia. His ancestors go back several generations on these islands, so he does have the right to vote. And by inheritance, so do his two children.
Moi, je suis très...
I'm very respectful of Melanesian culture, of Kanak culture, says Frederick, because since I was a child, I've been in it. But his wife Christelle, who came from France 20 years ago, has never been allowed to vote.
On a l'impression d'être puni ou d'être...
I get the impression I'm being punished, of being a bit like a second-class citizen who doesn't have the capacity or clear-headedness to choose the politicians who are going to make policies that affect us. And not having the right to express myself politically is very frustrating.
C'est vrai que c'est frustrant.
The move to give people like Christelle the vote is called the dégel, the unfreezing. But to understand how we got here, you have to understand New Caledonia's recent history. In It's Sunday at a Protestant church in Noumea. I first came to New Caledonia as a young backpacker in 1976 because my great-grandfather was a missionary here during the Victorian era. He's one of the reasons the Protestant religion is so strong in these very Catholic islands. I spent a month on the idyllic coral atoll of Uvea, where my grandfather was born. During that time, I met a lot of militant Kanak who were angry at what they saw as France's colonial control. They warned me at the time that violence was coming, and 12 years later, Uvea became a worldwide headline.
Dans l'île d'Ouvea, plus de 300 hommes patrouillent toujours afin de localiser les 27 gendarmes otages et leurs ravisseurs.
Militants on Ouvea took 27 gendarmes hostage at gunpoint to force the French government into independence talks. Paris reacted with force. And in the bloodbath that followed, 19 of the hostage takers were killed. The hostage-taking came 4 years after a massacre of 11 independence activists by French loyalist farmers in the north of New Caledonia. The violence of the 1980s has become known euphemistically as les événements, the events. In 1998, the Noumea Accord was signed in order to restore Kanak rights and bring peace. New Caledonia was given autonomy and its own parliament. The accord would last until the referenda were held. And to allay Kanak fears that they might be overwhelmed by waves of new French voters, the voting power of all those who arrived after 1998 would be frozen. But, says Nina Julier, a prominent French loyalist politician,
they refuse the democratic vote of the referendum. They refuse the result of this election.
The problem is that the last referendum happened during the pandemic, when Kanak tradition required a period of mourning for the dead. The Kanak wanted the vote postponed, and when it was held, they boycotted in protest. As a result, Kanak leaders cried foul and don't recognise the result. Nina Julier doesn't see it that way.
I say that we are in a democratic world. Even if you are independentist, you cannot close your eyes on the result of this election. Three times we ask Caledonian people to choose their future, and they choose France.
Escaping a sudden downpour, fairly typical of New Caledonia during the wet season, I meet up with the key Kanak leader, Jimmy Nauna. He argues that the unfreezing of votes is part of the decolonization process. In other words, you can't give people the vote unless they qualify as citizens of New Caledonia. Since the Kanak see this as a colony, being a citizen of France doesn't count. I put the point that many French settlers are frustrated by this lack of voting rights.
Yes, we understand that people are not able to vote in local elections, but this is part of the whole decolonization process. Should be restricted so that all the people who satisfied all the criteria for citizens are allowed to vote in these local elections. So, you know, since the decolonization process has not been completed here, we see we should prolong that restriction on the electoral so that citizens can only vote.
So while the French see New Caledonia as a part of France, Nauna and other Kanak leaders say it's still a colony. The two sides see everything differently. French law recognises land and resource ownership, but for the Kanak, land has a spiritual value. Fellow separatist leader Patricia Goa says that's why independence is so important, not just legally, but culturally.
For Kanaks, you belong to the land. The land doesn't belong to you. But it doesn't mean younger people or younger Kanak wants to things differently. Now people like us, they want a different definition of what we call a land. We also want a piece of it that belongs to us only. I mean, you can hear that too. It doesn't mean our culture is in diminution. It's really how now you can sort of get all those things, those values, those cultural values coming into modern life.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Hallo, hier sind Julia und Chris vom Podcast Drinnies. Wir machen nicht nur einen Comedy-Podcast, sondern gehen auch leidenschaftlich gerne nicht zu Stoßzeiten in den Supermarkt. Ehrlich gesagt bleibe ich am liebsten ganz zu Hause und ziehe nur eine Hose an, wenn es klingelt. Wenn es euch auch so geht, dann ist HelloFresh genau das Richtige für euch. Der Kochbox-Lieferservice bringt euch frische, abwechslungsreiche Gerichte direkt vor die Haustür, die ihr im Handumdrehen selbst zubereiten könnt.
Und mit dem Code LECKER24 könnt ihr jetzt richtig sparen. In Deutschland bis zu 120 Euro, in Österreich bis zu 130 Euro und in der Schweiz bis zu 140 Franken. Also Code LECKER24 eingeben und sparen.
PS, der panierte Portobello-Pilz mit Sweet Chili Ketchup ist sehr gut.
Leute, es wird unangenehm, denn ich muss euch einfach fragen, habt ihr euch eigentlich schon mal um eure Versicherung gekümmert? Hier ist übrigens Tara vom Podcast Tara sagt was und ich sage euch, es wird allerhöchste Zeit, Ordnung in euer Versicherungschaos zu bringen und dabei kann euch die App Clark helfen. Da arbeiten ganz viele Expertinnen, die das hauptberuflich machen, man glaubt es kaum. Und mit meinem Code TARA60, alles groß und zusammengeschrieben, könnt ihr euch sogar einen Shopping-Gutschein sichern, 60 Euro, bei zum Beispiel Amazon oder Douglas einlösbar, mit dem Code TARA60.
I'm Peter Hadfield, on assignment in New Caledonia. I've driven over the mountains in the far south of the main island of New Caledonia, and I've stopped close to the main mine here, which is the largest in New Caledonia, the nickel mine. So from the mine, the ore is taken down to this massive great smelter in front of me. You've just heard the siren, and it's belching smoke into the air. It's a massive complex. And this process requires a lot of acid. And unfortunately, in the past, there have been leaks of acid into the local rivers, which has been destroying the fishing here. So what's this got to do with the political debate? Well, nickel is the mainstay of the New Caledonian economy. And for the Kanak, the smelters and the mines represent an invasion of their country and also a colonial exploitation of their resources. This is the journey I took to meet André Vamme, whom we met at the start of the program. He helped organize protests against acid pollution from the nickel smelter 10 years ago. While nickel mining has brought lots of benefits to the New Caledonian economy, André says it's disrupted Kanak traditions and culture.
Ben, il faut l'environnement, donc là-haut, là où il y a l'usine, j'ai dû passer devant.
There used to be a big forest where the smelter is now. We used to hunt there and look for wood. The women used to pick up seeds and gather things in a satchel. Now, since the smelter arrived, you can still find a few small pockets of forest. But today, most of it has disappeared. With globalization and all that, like the smelter, it's brought big changes at the tribal level. The arrival of money, everything that makes people more individualistic, for example. Recently, there have been some small worries, so there is a change. I see these traditions getting lost, and we continue to see them deteriorating. The arrival of money, alcohol and drugs, all these things impact us a lot. Money and the building of smelters, it's hurting the mentality of the Kanak.
Another thing that's almost disappeared, says André, is traditional dancing, because the Catholic Church considered it hedonistic. The church, he says, was often used as an instrument of colonial oppression. I ask about French loyalists who say New Caledonia is a part of France. Are we in France here?
We're called that. We put up with it over time, but perhaps we will die French. Me, I am Kanak. I was born like that. I was born with a Kanak name. I was born in Kanak land. I don't know France. It's very far away, 10,000 kilometers. I'm proud of being Kanak. Here, they talk of France, and France is the way. But you know, that today we're not independent. There you go. The hat of France is still on us.
It's this slow eclipse of their culture, traditions and society that helps drive the Kanak dream of independence. A couple of things happened that day which show how complex that society is. Driving up the coast road, I was stopped by police looking for alcohol and firearms. There was a land dispute between two clans within the Yate tribe, and a member of one clan had shot dead a member of the other clan, intensifying the feud. And when I got back to Noumea, the evening news and social media were alight with a story of local unrest. Three youths from the Mare tribe living in Noumea had beaten up a man from the Isle of Pines. And when schools finished for the day, dozens of teenagers from the Isle of Pines took to the streets seeking revenge. Several fights broke out and tribal elders appealed for calm.
I'm in the park, which is in the middle of town, and behind me the people of Mare who live in Noumea have gathered to listen to the tribal elders who are trying to calm things down. They're speaking in Mare, which I don't speak, but this is what someone in the crowd told me. About 50 people here. It shows what a melting pot Noumea is. People seem to get on very well together, but there are tensions between tribes. A lot of it is involved in land dispute, which is what the Yate dispute was all about. And that is partly the legacy of French colonial times, when the French rounded up various tribes, put them on reservations. There was no documentation of land ownership and everything got very messy, and this has led to conflicts.
Loyalists argue that New Caledonia needs French law and French oversight to settle these occasional tribal disputes. After all, there are 30 Kanak languages, over 300 tribes and thousands of clans here. But advocates of independence argue that what's needed in these situations is customary or local law. I asked two women in the park, who were from the island of Lifu, whether these disputes are usually settled with customary law or French law.
Les deux, oui.
Both, they said, because we leave French justice for how we work, but for community life it should be left to the clans. We should take care of these problems ourselves.
So this is Peter, this is my father Christophe.
Christophe, enchanté. Enchanté.
And this is my mother Sandrine.
Sandrine, enchanté. Thank you, merci beaucoup.
A French loyalist couple who moved here 18 years ago from Marseille, Christophe and Sandrine Bank, say, we love New Caledonia for the sunshine, the sea and the people.
Le soleil, la mer, les gens.
Les gens sont gentils.
The people are nice, says Christophe. When asked about the freezing of voting rights, Christophe says, I'm not angry with the Kanak. We all work together. In my company, we have Wallis Islanders, Kanak, Indonesians. All the neighborhoods here are mixed. It's the politics I have a problem with. I'm frustrated because the process is taking too long. I blame the old politicians, the extremists, who are looking back at the past. You can't live in the past. Christophe's son, Maxime, is even more impatient for change.
Now I'm 26 years old, so yeah, I arrived at 6 years old. So for me, my home is New Caledonia. I don't know much about France. I learned everything here. I did all my schools here. Most of my friends are all from New Caledonia. So yeah, this is my home.
And as far as you're concerned, the earth here, this is French soil.
Of course, this is French soil. Yeah,
right,
of course.
Right. What in a practical way would voting mean for you?
I mean, you know, the politicians choose how many taxes you're going to pay, which laws they're going to implement. So I want to be able to choose which law going to be implemented here. Mm. But I'm not able. I feel like excluded in my own place. It's like living in a house, but you must stay in the bedroom. You cannot go outside the bedroom. I mean, I'm not a violent person, but if I have to go on the street...
To demonstrate
that I'm a citizen, I have rights, and my rights is to vote here, I will show them.
And you would not be afraid if that turned violent, you would still want to...
I mean, I hope it will not turn violent. Everyone is hoping we don't have to be violent. But yeah. If I need to be heard, I will do what I have to do to be heard. Sometimes it's the only way to be listened. I mean, the loyalist people used to be very quiet, not say that much. We do manifestation, we walk on the street, but no violent thing. But if we have to, for me, I guess we should, and we must do everything to show to friends that there are not only independence people who are living here, but there is also loyalist people who are attached to this island, which is our home, and we want to have a vote in this island.
You think the younger generation then is a bit more militant than your father's generation in this?
I guess, because I feel like I'm even born here, you know. I'm not born here, but coming at 6 years old, for me, it's like my home. And my father has grown up in France, so we have a lot of history in France. He worked in France, he has businesses in France too. So I guess it's not the same situation. But for a younger generation, I feel like it's more anger than frustration.
And on the other side, the Kanak, they want to get a good agreement. If they don't get a good agreement, maybe they would also demonstrate in the streets. So we might see the both sides.
And if they want to show violence on the streets, they must know that we will be there too.
Right.
Because they are not the only one on this island.
It sounds like a very frightening future in a way.
Hopefully not, because politicians will take act. If politicians do their job, we will not have to... If the politicians know how to speak between themselves and to speak with friends and to speak, we will be fine. But if they not... That could happen.
There is perhaps a silver lining in this rather dark cloud. Loyalists seem happy to have an autonomous New Caledonia as long as it's tied to France. And while Kanak politicians never want to give up the goal of independence, they are looking at ways to achieve sovereignty with some sort of link to France. They point to examples like the Cook Islands, which retains ties to New Zealand. As for the voting status of incomers since 1998, that will either be negotiated or President Macron has threatened to push it through Parliament unilaterally. But whatever the outcome, nearly everyone involved in these negotiations is adamant that there cannot be a return to the violence of the past. I asked separatist leader Patricia Goa if independence is a realistic goal.
You have today in New Caledonia 250,000 people. With half people that want to stay inside France and people who want their sovereignty. So we cannot pretend we don't understand that voice. But there's something we are sure about, is that when we go outside this country, we are all Caledonians. There's things we are sure about. We all belong to this land. We have common history. So I wouldn't say it's not realistic. I would say it takes time to make everything and everyone looking on the same direction.
Maybe the real difference between the two sides is a test of patience. Time passes slowly in Kanak culture. Life on these islands is never hurried. We have time, a Kanak once said, but the French have the watch. Loyalist politician Nina Julier also sees common ground, but she wants to move more quickly.
Independentist people love their country. Loyalists love their country. Both we love our country and we love our people. So I think we will find a way to understand each other. But I ask them to think about their children and their future, because the world is a difficult world, and we need to have money and we have to have a good economy to go further. So I think we will find a way to understand each other, but we need to find this way faster.
Assignment was produced by me, Peter Hadfield, and Caroline Bailey. The editor was Penny Murphy, and the program was mixed by Rod Farker.
The Global Jigsaw is the podcast looking at the world through the lens of its media.
State media know which topics they can and can't discuss.
We fill gaps and connect dots to better understand what's happening in the world.
It's important to remember the context.
And untangle the narratives aimed at influencing your views.
Tightly controlled.
It's not so healthy to be a journalist there.
The Global Jigsaw from the BBC World Service. Listen now by searching for The Explanation wherever you get your BBC podcasts.